Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I am on my final week in Los Angeles. At the moment, the city is filled with some notable and original artistic works, just in time for the high holidays. Yes, this is also Jewish Heritage Month here. The works, not surprisingly, deal with anti-Semitism at a time when many believe it is rearing its ugly head again. I've seen two theatrical productions, as well as a truly unique art exhibit, and all could and should end up in other venues, including in New York City. The Big Apple, after all, has twice as many Jews as Los Angeles, and they've always been a cultural force beyond their, or I should say, our numbers. Well, let's start with the Jewish Women's Theater, which is 12 years old, proudly celebrating its bat mitzvah next year, and has earned itself a loyal following. It started off doing readings of various kinds in homes around the city, salon theater, they called it. It still goes on, but as of a few years ago, the company also began doing actual productions at the Braid in Santa Monica. There's no stage per se, but an elevated platform and seating for, well, less than 99, what LA calls intimate theater. Our mission is to leave no Jewish story untold, said artistic director Rhonda Spinak. The company's best-known work, called Not That Jewish, did end up in New York off-Broadway a few seasons back. The current one is called True Colors and features five diverse actors reading the actual stories of people who were, well, some thought they were not that Jewish because they are of mixed races. So they have encountered otherness times two. The words they've heard through their lives are touching. She's Jewish. She's not really black. How do you feel about being a minority within a minority? And their personal stories have been challenging. Suddenly, my non-Jewish dad was a single father of two Jewish adolescents. He never converted, but he was the biggest mensch I ever knew, recalls one reader. An Hispanic Jew talks of being accused of treason by identifying as Jewish. An African-American Jew calls himself a Hebrew. There is lovely humor and pathos in the evening. The five performers are beautiful and talented, and the audience seem to enjoy every word. Meanwhile, in the very hip and cool Los Feliz area, a play called Never Is Now has just opened at the Skylight Theater. It's a perfect complement in some ways to True Colors. It's time you knew the truth. Your papa is Jewish, one character in this one is told. You can no longer be Jewish. Here's your new birth certificate, says another. Never Is Now, however, has a structure, and it is a clever and satisfying one. Playwright Wendy Kaut, now full disclosure, she is a friend of mine, had been commissioned to write a piece called Survivors for the Rochester Schools. It has been a huge success in teaching students about the Holocaust. Now, what she has done at Skylight is frame that work within a contemporary setting. Here we watch a director and his five actors as they rehearse a play called Survivors, often breaking to draw obvious parallels between their own lives and Germany's most horrific time. Did Hitler really say, make Germany great again? Asked one character. Indeed, he did. Even though the story inside the story is old, the production does not feel that way. The six performers are young and diverse and highly talented. They go in and out of playing themselves and actual survivors of the Holocaust. Not an easy feat, but smart lighting also helps. The concept of young people learning history and losing innocence, in a sense, is truly moving. Promise you will keep telling the story, a survivor asks. Well, thanks to Skylight and the Jewish Women's Theater, that story continues to be told in unique ways and resonating far too deeply. Actually, another theatrical venue in Los Angeles also deserves mention. The Road Company in North Hollywood is presenting a drama called Prayer Book, written by Angela J. Davis. Now, this one deals with a 14th century Hebrew manuscript that resurfaces at an auction and is discovered to have been stolen during the Nazi regime. It's based on a 1984 court case, and the production includes projections of the actual lost and found manuscript. Now, I didn't have time to see this one, but I heard about it and read about it. And that and the others are continuing well into October. And if we're lucky, they will all head east. Finally, on the USC campus, the Fisher Museum, along with the Steven Spielberg Shoah Foundation, is presenting a most unusual and moving exhibit. It's called Facing Survival, David Kassan. The artist has done drawings and portraits of Holocaust survivors. What is remarkable here was Kassan's process. He interviewed at least a dozen of his subjects and then put their faces to paper. These are vivid portraits reflecting living testimonies. They carry the pain, the anguish, and perhaps even the warning that, yes, never again could be happening now. So altogether, it was a rather moving week out here as we approach the holiday season. By the way, I read in the New York Times yesterday about a shofar being discovered from thousands of years ago. A true relic, and maybe, Jill, even a reminder of some mysterious sort.
Or a wish for a Happy New Year.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, yeah, just because people do forget that. Yeah. An old friend used to say, you know, back to school is actually the start of the new year. If you were raised, then this is the time of year where you go back to school, and it is the new year.
Yes, it is. I guess that would be called Never Is New.
And
you can do all kinds of things here, yes.
It would appear that the theater season is based on the Jewish New Year, too, when you think about it.
Yes.
Because how is, speaking of shows that open during the summer, how is Moulin Rouge doing?
Very well. Moulin Rouge is doing very well. You do not see that on any half price from when I check. That's been selling out almost every night. It's a rather small house, but it's, I think that one's around to stay. You know, as I always say, the plays I would keep an eye on as we get near the end of the year are Oklahoma, Beetlejuice, even Tootsie. I'm not convinced they'll all be around as we start the next new year. We shall see. But a lot is opening. God, I think I have 7 or 8 shows already for October. So a lot is opening in New York. Big ones, small ones.
And the ones that are opening. And again, that is traditionally when I imagine it's, you know, it's rather like booking a wedding. You know, you try to get certain dates in during the summer or at the very end. And I imagine you try to get certain opening dates. I'm not talking about Tony. I'm just talking about in the fall season.
Right. Yeah, well, you're also looking for theaters. I heard about some show that can't find a theater. So they're pretty booked right now. But things will be closing. The one with Jake Gyllenhaal will be closing soon. So that becomes, you know, as soon as something closes, it feels like there's plenty of stuff waiting just for their stage. Inheritance is open. I don't know, there's about 8 or 9 really big ones in the next 2 months. But most of them are limited runs. It's interesting because they all hope to be Tony nominated, but it's a long way from the Tony nomination. So that's the risk, of course, of opening so early. Will they remember us all those months from now? But, you know, listen, a lot of these actors have TV shows to go back to. The one, the LBJ show, which I'm seeing next week, Great Society, that stars Brian Cox, who's the star of Succession. So, you know, he's got to go back to work on the TV show. So, you know, that's kind of the trade-off. You get a big name, Tom Hiddleston in, Betrayal, but you don't get him for long.
Do you, anything making you salivate?
Well, I am interested in The Great Society because I love politics, and it doesn't always work on stage, and I love history, so that does interest me. They just announced another revival of Virginia Woolf. I can't believe that. That's for the spring. I think they're just calling it Woolf, but I'm not sure they can do that, but that's how they're... Well, you know, by the way, the ones that are selling tickets are West Side Story. Now, that does open in the spring. And The Music Man, which opens a year from now with Hugh Jackman, that's already selling big, a year away. So I don't even dare look that far in advance. Am I looking forward to West Side Story? I guess so. You know, I've seen it 5,000 times. But, and I guess I'd like to see what Ivan Vanhove, arguably the most famous director in theater these days, controversial one, what he does with this iconic musical that a lot of us grew up with, you know. So there are other things. There are some small shows, small big shows. Mary Louise Parker is in a, I think it's a two-character piece in previews now on Broadway. I always look forward to seeing her. It's interesting. I have friends who just saw three shows in a row on Broadway. They were visiting the city. Two of them had two characters. It was that one. It was the one with Jake Gyllenhaal. And it was Betrayal with three characters. And they said, you know, we're paying a lot of money for these shows, and yet we've only seen, you know, seven actors, basically. So somehow people, when you pay a lot of money, you kind of want to see a Moulin Rouge. At least you want to sprinkle one of those in there where there are 100 performers, you know, doing their thing. But as we know, it's people are writing smaller budgets. It helps a budget if you only have to pay for two or three actors. But I guess the question is, do they fit on Broadway, or could they just as easily be off Broadway? And I don't know. We've talked about that many times here, and we'll talk about it many more.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.